Hello and welcome to another Economic Week in Review for September 4th through 8th, 2006. Read to you by Jonathan Andrew Walter, your host of JawSpeak.com. This last week's holiday-shortened slate of economic news raised some concerns about the threat of inflation. Unit labor costs, which is a measure of the unit cost of productivity, was revised upward significantly for both the first and the second quarters 2006. This revision was much higher than analysts expected. Productivity gains for the second quarter remained steady, being revised up moderately to an annualized 1.6%. In the Federal Reserve Board's beige book, it indicated continued economic expansion from mid-July through late August, though higher costs for energy and construction dampened growth in some areas. The ISM, Institute for Supply Management, had their non-manufacturing index come out for August, and it rose to 57.0. 50 or above indicates expansion, and since it's the non-manufacturing index, this tells us we have continued growth in the services industries for August. Consumer credit in July also continued to increase, as the trend has been for the last 6 months or so. For the week, the S&P 500 index fell 0.9% to 1,299, and the yield of the 10-year U.S. Treasury note rose 4 basis points to 4.77%. The Labor Department reported that unit labor costs were revised upward significantly for both the first and the second quarters. First quarter growth in costs soared to an annualized 9% from the previously reported 2.5%. While growth in the second quarter measured an annualized 4.9%, up from 4.2% before revisions. Both of these revisions came up as a result of changes in hourly compensation, and they were higher than expected. The new first quarter figure may be the result of the inclusion of employee year-end bonuses and the exercise of stock options, and it may not really be an indication of inflationary trend in wages. Overall, unit labor costs for non-farm businesses grew 5% compared to the same quarter a year ago, the fastest pace since 2000. The report also indicated that non-farm productivity growth for the second quarter remained steady, being revised up to an annualized 1.6%. Non-farm business productivity growth grew at a relatively healthy 2.5% clip compared to the second quarter of 2005. Also, we have the beige book that came out. The Fed's beige book did little, though, to ease inflation concerns. Fortunately, though, it gave no definitive signals that rising prices were threatening to take the wind out of the economy's sails either. The Fed reported that economic activity continued to expand from mid-July through late August. The Fed reported 7 of the Fed's 12 districts indicated moderate change in the pace of economic growth, while 5 reported some slowing. Consumers were still spending, albeit at a slower pace. Tourism and manufacturing industries continued to expand, and labor markets were steady. Higher costs for energy and construction, meanwhile, dampened growth in some areas. Other notes of interest from the survey include a report from Kansas City of sizable numbers of home foreclosures, and indications from Cleveland of easing in trucking and shipping industries, which are typically driven by consumer and business spending. After sharp increases in May and June, consumer credit rose just $5.5 billion in July. The rise was attributed to gains in both revolving credit and non-revolving credit. Loans to automobile buyers boosted non-revolving credit $3.1 billion up to an annualized growth rate of 2.5%, and revolving credit, things like credit cards, climbed $2.4 billion, a 3.5% annualized rate. This was on the strength of higher gasoline prices and retail sales, excluding automobiles. The ISM non-manufacturing index rose to 57.0, higher than expected, and indicating continued growth in services throughout August. Prices slipped during the month, offsetting notable decreases in new orders and exports attributed to political instability in the Middle East. Employment growth also fell from 1 month ago. An index reading above 50 indicates growth in the sector. Looking ahead, we have inflation numbers for August, which are going to be watched with interest when next Friday's report on the Consumer Price Index is released. Also due next week are reports on international trade, Tuesday, retail sales and business inventories, Thursdays, and industrial production on Friday. Looking back on the previous week's wrap-ups of economic reports, you can see the direct link from the blog of the chart featured by Vanguard. Also, I'm going to give you a quick recap. We had non-farm productivity. That came out first off in the week, actually on the 6th, so it was on Wednesday. The actual value was up 1.6%. It was expected 1.5%. about on par with expectations. If you don't know, non-farm productivity is productivity data as measured by output per hour of all persons for the second quarter of 2006. The seasonally adjusted annualized rates of productivity change in the second quarter, they were up 1.5% in the businesses sector, rates of productivity change in the second quarter, and up 1.6% in the non-farm business sector. It's a quarterly report of the growth of labor efficiency in producing the economy's goods and services. Unit labor costs reflect the labor cost of producing each unit of output. Both are considered indicators of future inflationary trends. Also on Wednesday came out the ISM Non-Manufacturing Index. The indicated expected value was 55.1, actual was 57. Over 50 indicates expansion, under 50 is contraction. They said, and this is quote from the issuer of the report, non-manufacturing business activity increased for the 41st consecutive month in August. The issuers of the report, Neves, he indicated, he's also the senior vice president of supply management for Hilton Hotels, he's added in his report, quote, business activity increased at a faster rate in August than in July. Employment, new orders, new export orders, imports, inventories, and prices increased at a slower rate. 11 of 18 non-manufacturing industry sectors reported increased activity in August. Members' comments in August are mostly positive concerning current business conditions. Prices, fuel expenses, energy costs, and interest rates remain areas of concern. The prices index decreased 2.4 percentage points this month to 72.4%. The overall indication in August is continued economic growth in the non-manufacturing sector at a faster pace than in July. The ISM Non-Manufacturing Index is a report that comes out from the Institute for Supply Management every month, and it's an indicator of overall service sector trends. It's based on a variety of surveys of several hundred purchasing and supply executives in many non-manufacturing industries. The Beige Book came out as well from the Federal Reserve Board. The Beige Book is the beige-colored book, which comes out 8 times a year, and it's a summary of economic conditions in each of the 12 Federal Reserve regional districts. It provides anecdotal information on topics such as labor conditions, consumer spending, business activity. It comes out prior to each of the scheduled monetary policy meetings of the Federal Open Market Committee. From the report, we have an excerpt, quote, reports from the 12 Federal Reserve districts indicate that economic activity continued to expand since the last report, but 5 districts indicated deceleration, while the remaining 7 reported little change in the pace of growth. Some slowing in economic growth was seen in Boston, New York, Philadelphia, Kansas City, and Dallas districts, though Dallas still characterized growth as strong. Most other districts reported continued modest growth, though Atlanta described activity as mixed. Richmond observed that growth was slow, while San Francisco noted a solid growth pace. Consumer spending increased slowly in most districts, weighed down by sluggish sales of vehicles and housing-related goods. While a number of districts noted some bloating in automobile inventories, most non-auto retailers indicated satisfaction with inventory levels. Tourism was generally characterized as steady but relatively strong. Reports on the service sector varied by industry and by district. Some found the trucking and information technology industries to be relatively strong, while others provided mixed reports on air transportation and healthcare. Manufacturing activity continued to expand in all districts, despite pockets of weakness mostly related to autos and residential construction. Reports on real estate and construction were uniformly weak for the residential sector, but fairly widespread strength was recounted in the commercial sector. Financial institutions reported some softening in loan demand, especially for home mortgages, but noted that credit quality was still favorable. Drought-like conditions in much of the nation have hampered crop production and livestock, while energy production remained at a high level. Labor markets were mostly described as steady since the last report, with scattered labor shortages and associated upward wage pressures noted in a number of districts, especially for workers with specialized skills. Widespread increases in the prices of energy and certain other commodities persisted since the last report, though most of these increases did not appear to have passed on to finished consumer goods. So what's it mean for investors? The Beige Book isn't considered to be a big market mover, typically. It is a gauge on the strength of the economy and not a commentary on the views of the Fed members. Occasionally it can move markets if the findings are a big surprise from analysts expected. got a couple strengths and weaknesses. The findings of the Beige Book are considered pretty timely, and their data used in the Beige Book, usually within only a couple of weeks. The Beige Book is what the Federal Open Market Committee members read before every interest rate meeting, so it's also a good predictor of what direction, if any, the interest rates are going to move. The problem with the Beige Book, though, is the book is not a view of what FOMC members may be thinking about the economy. It only states economic facts about the various regions of the country. So the Beige Book does not necessarily contain data series. It's only descriptive information. Information also about each region can vary depending on importance. For example, one Fed district may release detailed information on farms, while others do not. End result, this came out. You can review it yourself. Links on the blog. Last up, initial jobless claims report came out, and the four-week moving average is really what you want to look on this. The four-week moving average was 315,250, and this was decreased 3,000 from the previous week's revised estimate average of 318,250. In mid-August of last year, initial claims were at 320,000, about on par. And consumer credit increased at an annualized growth rate of 2 to 2.75% in July. The annual growth rate of total consumer credit has been about 1.25 percentage points from 2001 to 2005. Thank you for listening. I eagerly look forward to hearing from you, listening to your comments or reading them. Please send them to me at jaw@jawspeak.com or leave a comment directly on the blog.